We don't want to keep Lawyer Extraordinary waiting. Nah, he bills by the minute. Good morning, Jeff O'Brien.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And I thank Drew Lee for paying for that bill.
So, number of different stories here. We talked about this last week. We had an alternate juror who had spoke to the media, but there was another juror, Brandon Mitchell, who came out and spoke to, I believe, all of the local outlets, talking about his experience, talking about the one voter that the one juror that kind of held things up, wasn't immediately on board with a guilty verdict on all counts, wanted some clarity on what they were, and some specificity. But now, as time's gone on, this juror, Brandon Mitchell, has been talking to numerous outlets, NBC News. He went on several different prominent podcasts, talked with the Minnesota Reformer, the Associated Press. And the Associated Press story was interesting because he is now defending his participation in a Washington protest over the George Floyd, the death of George Floyd. It shows Mitchell. There was a photo circulating online showing this juror standing with two cousins and wearing a T-shirt with a picture of King and the words "Get your knee off our necks" and BLM for Black Lives Matter, as well. And he's been incredibly vocal about how he wanted to do his part, mm-hmm. and talks about his own frustrations with the Minneapolis Police Department. So, could this juror, and for as outspoken as they're being, could this be providing Eric Nelson, you know, with ammunition on appeal?
Well, it provides them with more ammunition. You know, taken alone, I don't think it's enough to get a mistrial or to get the verdict overturned by an appellate court. But it's certainly another factor. The two statements or the two pieces of what you just talked about, John, is troubling to me. Is one, in voir dire and jury questioning, he said he didn't know much about the case. His participation in the March on Washington wearing that shirt, which I read an article and I think it was the Pioneer Press, where he didn't know anything, how that shirt, you know, how he got that shirt or where that picture came from. It's like, did someone hold you down and put a shirt on? Come on. You know what it was about. That is perjury. He lied in his questioning. And then the statement they did on that podcast about, you know, doing your part and sending a message. It's like being on a jury is not about sending a message. It's about applying the facts of the case, the evidence of the case, to the legal elements and determining if there's a crime that's been committed that the defendant should be convicted of. It's not about sending a message. So, I think it's one of those factors. You had the jury not being sequestered. You had Dante Wright. You had the civil settlement. You had the protesters marching through the night of jury deliberations, banging on drums. I think everything sums up. I think any thinking appellate court could see that this guy didn't get a fair trial and should get a new trial someplace other than Hennepin County.
And that was going to be two questions for you here. What are the potential consequences if it can be demonstrated, you know, in court that this juror might have lied either on his questionnaire or during the jury selection process? What other consequences for the juror themselves, and what sort of consequences might that have on the overall case? And then the appeal question is, what happens, you know, over the course of an appeal? Does he get a brand new trial? Is it thrown out, etc.?
I think that if I'm his defense counsel, obviously you're pushing for, first he's going to make a motion for a mistrial, and Judge Cahill will deny it like he did before. And part of it is because Judge Cahill is human too and lives in Hennepin County. He doesn't want the mob on his front doorstep. So this is going to go on. I don't know if it's going to be the Court of Appeals or the Minnesota Supreme Court, or if it's going to take until it gets into the Eighth Circuit and federal court, but some court should order a new trial to be held someplace else with jurors that didn't have that weren't set on sending a message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean that's the wrong way to approach going on jury duty. And you know, you piece together this guy's comments from the various media outlets that he's willingly going out and talking to, you really are left with the picture that when he got the summons to appear on jury, that he saw an opportunity here, an opportunity to make change. These are his words, not mine. I mean, these are things that he's saying. And you're right. That is the absolute wrong way to approach jury duty.
You know, I'll say this. I think, you know, you and I talked a lot off air about this trial that went on, and I think that, you know, I had always felt that Chauvin was going to be convicted of second degree manslaughter. I thought possibly third degree murder, but never saw second degree murder because the legal elements weren't there. From hearing his interviews, it sounded like they didn't deliver. They started on second degree manslaughter, then they went to third degree murder, and they didn't deliberate much. They figured, well, we already got him on those two, let's get him on this one. It doesn't seem like there was a lot of deliberation.
What do you say, 20 minutes?
This doesn't end, to be clear, this doesn't end with Derek Chauvin walking away not guilty.
Right.
I think he ultimately will still be convicted of second degree manslaughter. He could still serve time for third degree murder. A lot's going to depend on that Mohammed Noor case that's going up in front of the Minnesota Supreme Court in June. But I think eventually the second degree murder conviction will be overturned. Either it's overturned just by an appellate court because the elements aren't there, or because they grant him a new trial in some other jurisdiction and a new jury doesn't find that the elements are there for second degree murder. That's just my hunch. I could be wrong, but I'm a lawyer. I apply the law to the facts. I don't apply external factors. And unfortunately, it sounds like at least one juror did.
Two questions for you. One, could this impact sentencing at all?
I don't think it's going to impact sentencing. The interesting thing will be, you know, the state is going for a higher sentence than would be required under the, you know, the guidelines or under the formula. I think it under the formula right now, he would get like 12 and a half years because he has no past, you know, convictions or issues. And they're seeking more than that. And I don't know if he's going to get up and, you know, say something. I think he probably won't because that could prejudice the appeals. But I don't think it's going to affect the judge's imposition of the sentence.
The other question I had was, what does this potentially do when it comes to the trial of the other officers? Can you point to the Chauvin case? Can the attorneys for the other officers point to the Chauvin case and point to this juror and then thus begin to argue on their behalf about you know, their trials being fair? Does it impact that, or could it?
It could. I mean, you as an attorney, you use everything you've got, right? I think you're still going to push for a change in venue. I think you might use some of these factors as some of this evidence may be used as part of the motion for a change of venue, and maybe in front of the and maybe in front of the judge in that trial. Maybe it's more persuasive. I don't know. My thought is, I think that the district court judge is feeling the same way that the jury is. They don't want the mob in front of their house rioting. So let's just, you know, get this thing done with, get it up to, and let the court of appeals, you know, let the appellate court sort it out. I don't know. I'm not going to put my personal safety in jeopardy over this case. I think that's got to be part. I think that was part of Judge Cahill's thought. And I mean, the last day on redirect when Tobin wasn't supposed to testify about the oxygen levels, and he goes they were admonished about not doing it because of the, you know, saying he's going to declare mistrial, and he goes and does it anyways, and there's no mistrial declared. So that gave me the impression they just want this thing out of the courthouse and let somebody else deal with the mess.
Is it unusual? You know, in that respect, I'm reminded of Cahill admonishing Maxine Waters and those comments that he made after she showed up in Brooklyn Center. And I'm reminded of, you know, him actually saying that this is information that certainly could be used on appeal. Is it unusual for a judge to talk about things that are happening that could be used in an appeal?
Yeah, a little bit, because judges don't like to be overturned. You know, they don't like to be overturned on appeal. So to be that, you know, blatant about it, again, that just signaled to me more of Cahill just wants this out of his courtroom.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to blame him. Hard to blame him. Jeff O'Brien, lawyer extraordinaire, thank you so much for your time this morning. Really appreciate your perspective and expertise.
Thanks, guys.
And send the bill to Sam Sansevier this time.
Sure. Will do.
All right.
Sorry.